بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. If I could have the attention of the brothers to come forward. جزاكم الله خيرا جميعا. And before I start the lesson, I remind anyone that's blocking our car downstairs, if you could please kindly remove your car. Today, I'll be talking about the last hadith in the 40 Nawawi. For the last 6 months, or even a bit less, I've been going through the book of, or the hadith that being gathered by Imam al-Nawawi, which Imam al-Nawawi called Al-Arba'una al-Nawawiyyah. 40 hadith that Imam, one of the great scholars, his name Imam al-Nawawi Muhyiddin, Sharaf al-Din Muhyiddin, Zakariya al-Nawawi, that's his real name, Muhyiddin Zakariya al-Nawawi. He comes from a village called Nawa, and that village is 100 kilometers south Damascus. I went to that village, and I went and passed his grave. And subhanallah, he's one of those great scholars that he's a history. Like he's like what we call a legend, one of a kind. He died at the age of 40. His father took him from Nawa to Damascus to learn the Islamic law, Sharia. And that's where he grew and was raised in Damascus. And he learned his Islamic knowledge in Damascus. And he taught in Damascus. Until the age of 40 he died. He was a bachelor, a single, never got married. And in that time, the scholars look at his 40 years. And the books that he published in those 40 years, the books that he wrote in those 40 years, he authored in those 40 years, it doesn't, like, you look at the books and you look at his age, like, it's not equivalent. He wrote so much books that his age, like, in a young age. He wrote so much books in a young age. And when he died, they were trying to build on his grave. And everyone knows that the real Islamic grave, like when someone dies, we're not allowed to build on it anything above the ground, but nothing to be built. No cement, no decorations, none of that. Okay, flowers or trees to be planted, that's alright. But anything beside that, things to be built, that's haram. That's not Islamically. The Islamic way of building a grave is just unnaturally, one hand span above the ground. And they were trying to build on his grave. And subhanAllah, every time they build something on his grave, it just falls, it breaks. And again, they try and build something in his grave, it falls. Until subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal made a tree be planted from the middle of his grave and planted so quick. And I went and saw this, subhanAllah, you found just a big massive tree coming out of from the middle of the grave. SubhanAllah, so nothing could be built on him. So Imam al-Nawawi, he came up to 40 hadith, the main 40 hadith in Islam. And that's what the scholars say. He looked at the most important hadith in Islam, and there were 40 hadith. And he put them all together in one book, and he called them Arba'in Nawawi. And for the last 6 months, I've been going through every hadith. Okay, I did not go in order. I was just looking the most important hadith from the important hadith. And today, I'll be talking about the last hadith before I start the new topics that will take place next Monday, which I know a lot of people are interested in, and will be more about the grave and the punishment of the grave, and the day of judgment, and the paradise, and the fire of hell, the luxury of the paradise, and the punishment of the fire of hell. And this will take us at least 4 to 8 weeks, inshallah. The last hadith in Imam Nawawi, Arba'in Imam Nawawi, it's a very important hadith. Concerns a Muslim's life from the second that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants his existence till his death. And that hadith is narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Again, I'll say Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is one of those great scholars, one of those great companions, the scholars consider him as the Fuqaha al-Sahaba. Fuqaha al-Sahaba means that he is from the scholars of the companions. Not all the companions were scholars, because a lot of them were occupied in other things. Like Khalid ibn Walid was occupied in the jihad. Other Sahabis were occupied in government issues. And there was few Sahaba like Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ali ibn Abi Talib. They were all the time into the knowledge. The hadith, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال, حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك ثم يرسل إليه الملك فينفخ فيه الروح ويؤمر بكتبه 4 بكتب عمله ورزقه وأجله وشقي أو سعيد فوالله الذي لا إله إلا غيره إن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى لا يكون بينها وبينه إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها وإن أحدكم لا يعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى لا يكون بينها وبينه إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها رواه الإمام البخاري ومسلم. The hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, and he is the truth, and only says truth. That's what sadiq and masduq means, honest, and only speaks honesty. Inna ahadakum يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة. That one of you, when Allah Azza wa Jal creates them, the first thing Allah Azza wa Jal creates a human being is in the mother's embryo, in the mother's womb, and becomes an embryo. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beginning stages of the creation of the human being is a semen, a sperm, mixture of the sexual discharge of the female and the male in the mother's womb. So that's what they call nutfa. Nutfa, you'll find also mentioned in many verses in the Quran. You'll find it mentioned in many places in the hadith that the first creation of the human being is nutfa, a mixture or mixed drops of the sexual discharge of the female and the male, a semen, sperm, in the mother's womb. Okay, the womb is the balloon inside the, around the female stomach where the embryo or the fetus takes, or the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place. So the first stages is the semen, a mixture of the semen of the female and the male. Then the second stage, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that first stage goes for 40 days. إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ يَجْمَعَ خَلْقُهُ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ 40 يَوْمًا 40 days. First stages, okay, so the first stage is mixed drops of the sexual discharge of the female and the male that goes on for 40 days. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. After that 40 days, after that first stage, which goes on for 40 days, 1 month and 10 days, it starts the second stage, which is called عَلَقَة. And عَلَقَة is a lump of flesh bones. Okay, a lump of flesh, bones. It's like blood. More, after the stages of being a semen, it goes through the stage of being a blood. Okay, it looks like blood, a bit like thicker than blood. That's what alaqa is. Alaqa is a bit thicker than blood, and it's called in Arabic alaqa. Alaqa means in Arabic something that's hanging, something that hangs on something. Okay? And subhanAllah, because the fetus hangs in the mother's womb, they call it in Arabic alaqa. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. So the first stage is a semen, mixed drops of the sexual discharge of the female and the male in the female's womb, in the womb. Then it goes to the second stage, where it takes process for 40 days until it becomes alaqa. Alaqa turns now into blood, because the majority of the human being's body is blood. And not thin blood, thick blood, which sticks. Because it's thick, starts to stick. It sticks in the mother's womb now. Now it's stuck in the mother's womb. And that's what they call in Arabic, alaqa. Ma bitisma'a, doesn't your mom tell you, atina alaqa? Shuil alaqa is the thing that you put your clothes on. Sah? Isn't it the thing that you put your clothes on? Yeah? So, that's what they call in Arabic, alaqa. It goes also, the Prophet ﷺ said, thumma yakunu alaqatan mithla dhalik. That goes for 40 days. Another 40 days, the first stage goes 40 days, the second stage also goes for 40 days. Now the third stage that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches the mankind, which he got his knowledge from who? The creator, Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one that creates the human being from embryo to fetus into a human being, a baby, then a child, then a teenager, then an old man. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given that knowledge to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago, where there's no all this scientific technology that tells Muhammad all these stages of all the stages that the embryo goes through, all these processes that the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla goes through. The third stage goes to ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُضْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. After the first stage, 40 days, from the mixture of the sexual discharge of the female and the male, then the alaqa, thick blood, 40 days, now it's 80 days. Then the third stage, it's called مُضْغَة. What does مُضْغَة mean? مُضْغَة means something chewed. In Arabic, the real translation of mudgha is chewing. And that's why they call the chewing gum mudgha. They call it a chewing because in Arabic you chew on it. So they call it mudgha. And you chew on something not liquid, you chew on something that's not too solid, that's not too liquid. And that's a third stage of the human being, which they call it in English, what they call in English, mudgha? Clot? No, clot is the first stage. The last stage... a morsel of flesh. Okay, whatever he said. That's all. flesh bones. Becomes a flesh bones. Yeah, that's all. Flesh bones. Just the beginning stage of the bones. So they call in Arabic mudgha. Why? Because tumdagh. Tumdagh means you could chew on it. And you could only chew on something that's not liquid and that's not too solid. So now it's turning into the process of the bones. It's becoming bones. From a semen, liquid, into a blood, okay, a thick blood, into a thin bone. Like you could say, flesh bone, that's not too solid, that's not too liquid, that they called in Arabic mudra because you could chew on it. So 40 days, by 40 days, how many days is that? That's 120 days, which is 4 months. So that's the first stages of the human being. How did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know that? 1400 years ago, where there's no scientific technology at that time, where no one could look into the womb of a female to know what the stages of the embryo or the fetus. Or what stages does he go through? Or does the stages that the fetus goes through? About 50 years ago, they were discussing this topic, that which is created first? Is it the bones created first? Or is it the flesh that comes first? Something that all the doctors got together about 40, 50 years ago, and they were discussing the issue. Okay, that embryo, that fetus, what comes first? Is it the bones that come first? Or is it the flesh that comes first? With all the scientific technology, that did not get 100% answer, where half of them said no, it's the flesh that comes first. And the other 50% said no, it's the bones that come first. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 1400 years ago says, ثُمَّ كَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mu'minun, that after we created the human being from a clot, then a lump of flesh bones, then a flesh bone, after he's a bone, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, then we clothed the bones into with flesh. Yani subhanAllah, look how Allah Azza wa Jalla expresses his creation, that it's like a clothing, it's like the bones, it's like a figure, and Allah and the flesh is a clothes that closes the bones. So the first thing that comes is bones, then the flesh. And that's something that the Prophet ﷺ knew 1400 years ago. How did Muhammad ﷺ know? Where did Muhammad ﷺ get his information from? Which source Muhammad ﷺ was depending on? 1400 years ago, with none of this technology that exists right now. Think about it. It was the doctors. At that time they will know that the first thing that comes is the bones of the flesh. Or was there this technology? Or ultrasound? Or all this equipment, all these computers at his time to find out what comes first. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with none of this technology, he stood up with full confidence that yes, the bones comes before the flesh. Where the doctors just 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, they were confident. The 100% what comes first with all that technology. Why? It shows us that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting a revelation from someone great. And that someone that's great, he's the creator of that creation, which is the human being. Allah Azza wa Jalla created him, and Allah knows how he created his creation. Allah Azza wa Jalla told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he created his creation 1400 years ago. So those three stages, that goes for 120 days. Being a clot, 40 days, nutfa, then another 40 days of lump of flesh bones, alaqa, then another 40 days, flesh bones, mudra. That's 4 months. After 4 months, what happens? That's where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after those three stages, which is 120 days, 4 months, Allah sends an angel to blow the spirit or the soul in him. Now to become a human being. خَلَصَ. A proof of you being a human being. After 4 months. So during those 4 months, there's no soul. When does the soul of the human being come? After 4 months of the process of him becoming a creation, of him becoming a human being. After 4 months of the embryo stage. The embryo is the first 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks after the mixture of the sexual discharge. Then after that, they call a fetus. So 4 months, there's no soul. After 4 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel. And of course Allah azza wa jal has got angels that are created by Allah, where their job is to blow the soul into the human being's body. And what's the soul? Here's the question. What's the soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angel to blow into the human being's body? No one knows. Allah azza wa jal says in Surah Al-Isra, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوْتِيْتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Oh Muhammad, they ask you about the soul. Because they came to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, oh Muhammad, what's the soul? You keep on talking about the ruh, the ruh, the ruh, the ruh. Okay, we believe there's a ruh. But what's a ruh? What's a soul? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh Muhammad, they ask you about the soul. Tell them, the soul is the knowledge of Allah, and no one knows the knowledge of Allah except Allah. Something that Allah kept to himself. And Allah Azza wa Jal concealed that information that other human beings don't know. So after 4 months of that process, the soul comes. Through who? Through an angel. Through an angel. After the soul is blown into that human, or after that soul is blown into that fetus, what happens next? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ثُمَّ يُؤْمَرُ. Okay? Thumma means later on in a slow process. Thumma means later on in a slow process. After the soul, later on, after that, يُؤْمَرُ بِكَتْبِ أَرْبَعَ أَشْيَاءَ يُؤْمَرُ بِكَتْبِ أَرْبَعَ أَشْيَاءَ بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ وَأَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَقِيٍّ أَوْ سَعِيدٍ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders another angel. It could be the same angel that blew the soul in him, or could be another angel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to write down the divine destiny of that creation of Allah azza wa jal. Where there are four things are written down. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ. For Allah Azza wa Jal orders the angel to write down rizq, his provision, his sustenance. What Allah Azza wa Jal had written on him for him in this life, in this world. What? How much money does he get in this world, life? How much food he eats? How much kids he gets? How much houses he'll build? How much lands he owns? How much assets he'll have? That's all the rizq. وَكَتْبِ أَجَلِهِ. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angel to write down his age. How long is he going to live for? Is he going to live for one day? Or is he going to live for 100 years? Or is he going to live for 1,000 years? So that's something out of your hands. وَكَتْبِ أَجَلِهِ. Allah azza wa jal orders him to write his age. وَعَمَلِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also orders the angel to write his deeds. How much good deeds he's going to do, and how much bad deeds he's going to do. Is he chosen to be from the good ones, or is he chosen to be from the bad ones? And that's something I'll elaborate on now. وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. And the last thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angel to write down, is he from shaqi, from the bad ones, from the troubled ones in this life, from the people of the fire of hell? Oh, Sa'id, or is he from the happy ones? Sa'id means happy. Is he from the happy ones? And of course, no one is happy unless he follows the orders of Allah, and no one is sad unless he disobeys the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angels to write down. كَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ, his sustenance. وَأَجَلِهِ, his age. وَعَمَلِهِ, his deeds. وَشَقِيٍّ أَوْ سَعِيدٍ, is he from the happy or the sad ones? Hello, first of all, his sustenance. Very simple and easy. وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah said in Surah An-Nuh that we had distinguished, discriminated some of you with the sustenance that we had sustained them. Some we had made poor, and some we had made rich. That's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written on the son of Adam. Doesn't make you better for you being rich, or doesn't make you worse for you being poor. No. If you got your luxury in this life, you'll miss it in the hereafter. If you did not get your luxury in this life, you'll get it in the hereafter. Now another question will say, "Tab, me being a Muslim, I can't become rich." Yes, you being a Muslim, you could become rich. There's no problem with that. Sulaiman alayhi salam was the most richest human being that Allah had created in this world. He was a prophet, not only a Muslim, but he was a prophet and he was rich. And there was a lot of other poor prophets. One of them is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very poor. He was very poor. But what does that mean? You could, you being a Muslim, Allah azza wa jal allows you, permits you to be rich. But if you want to be rich, then you have to fulfill the rights of you being rich, which is fulfilling the rights of that money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you, which given in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You being poor, well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the masakeen, the poor ones, will enter the paradise 500 years before the rich ones. Why? Because in the day of judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let anyone go until he asks him four questions. And one of those four questions is, وَمَا لَكَ فِي مَا أَنْفَقْتَ, or مَا لَكَ مِنْ أَيْنَ أَيْتَيْتَ بِهِ وَأَيْنَ أَنْفَقْتَ. Your money, where did you get it from? And where did you spend it? If you were so rich, then you're gonna be accounted with every single dollar. Okay, this dollar, let's start with dollar number one. Where did you get it from? Okay, where did it go? Let's start with dollar number two. Where did you get it from? Where did it go? Dollar number three. If you're a millionaire, then you have to, if every dollar takes a minute to be judged, then that's a million minutes. Allah alam, how much is that? Go and get a calculator. Allah alam, how many years will turn up to be? If you're a billionaire, that's a big problem. You have to stand for a wall. So don't get jealous from the billionaires and millionaires. Get jealous from the masakeen. They'll enter paradise before the rich ones for 500 years. So if you had your luxury in this life, you'll have your luxury. You'll miss it in the hereafter. Unless you were rich in this life, you put your money in the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah will reward you for that in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that in the hereafter. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, Ya Rasulullah, ذهب أهل الدثور ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور يصلون كما يصلي ويصومون كما نصلي. O Prophet of Allah, the rich ones, they got more hasanat than us. We pray like them and they pray like us. We fast like them and they fast like us. But there's something they have extra on us that they donate more than us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي كُلِّ تَسْبِحَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَفِي كُلِّ تَحْمَيْدِةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَكُلِّ تَهْلِيلَةٍ صَدَقَةٍ وَأَمْرٍ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ صَدَقَةٍ وَنَهْيٍ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ صَدَقَةٍ. You've got for every subhanallah sadaqah, that's a donation. And if you've got for every alhamdulillah, that's a donation. And you've got for every Allahu Akbar, that's a donation. And you've got for every la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, donation. And for every call for good is a donation. And for every preventing from bad is a donation. So if the rich ones are donating their money in the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and they get an ajr, then you could win by the other side by you saying subhanallah. So the first thing that hurrah for him is rizqi. The second thing is ajalihi. Al-ajal means the age. How long are you going to live for? Are you going to live for one day or are you going to live for 100 years? That's something that's out of your hands. And that's something when you talk about al-qada wal-qadar, there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced you to. And there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the choice for, too. These things that you've got, it's out of your hands. And there are things in your hands. The things that are out of your hands is the day you were born, the parents that you came from, the color of your skin, your age is one of them also. The day that you were born and the time that you'll die. That's something out of your hands. You don't know when you're going to die. وَمَا تَدْرِ نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِ نَفْسٌ بَأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. No soul knows what's going to take tomorrow, what is rizq tomorrow. And no soul knows where it's going to die tomorrow. So that's something out of your hands. وَكَتْبِ عَمَلِهِ. The other thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write, order the angel to run, is your deeds. What are deeds? What are the type of deeds are you going to do? Are you going to be from those ones, they do the good deed and they end up in the paradise? Or are you going to be from those ones, they do the bad deed and end up in the fire of hell? And the third one and the fourth one, Shaqiyin or Sa'id, they both relate with the fourth thing that Allah Azza wa Jal orders the angel to write. Is he from the happy ones? Yani from the people of the paradise? Or is he from the sad ones? From the people of the fire of hell. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Hud, فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا فَفِي النَّارِ لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرٌ وَشَهِيقٌ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ عَطَاءً غَيْرَ مَجْدُودٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Hud that this Shaqi and this Sa'id, there's the happy one and there's the sad one. About the sad ones, the other ones, they'll live eternal in the fire of hell. And about the happy ones, other ones, they'll live eternal in the paradise with constant rewards. As I said, the third thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angel to write, and the fourth thing relate to each other, is the deeds and being happy or sad. Because with your deeds you'll be happy, with your deeds you'll be sad. Now that's something that everyone stops here and says, Tayyib, subhanallah, Allah had written this on me. Then what should we do for? What should we implement what Allah orders? It's khalas. That's it, it's written on us. And that's where a sect that called Al-Jabriya started from. About 1,000 years ago, a sect called Jabriya started from that hadith. Their belief is, Allah had written everything on us. Khalas, we can't do anything. Yani whatever we do, it's written on us. It's written on us. So they start to do commit all the haram. Yaqi, why are you committing this haram? It's haram. He said, it's written on me. Subhanallah. Yaqi, why are you doing this? Why are you committing adultery? It's written on me. Yaqi, why are you killing yourself? It's written on me. And subhanallah, all this is written on you. So they considered themselves, they used to call كَأَنَّهُمْ رِيشَ فِي الْهَوَىٰ. They considered themselves as being like a feather in the air. They've got no power of doing anything. No, that's not the meaning of the hadith. The meaning of the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, there are things, as I said, هُنَاكَ أَعْمَالِ اخْتِيَارِيَّ وَهُنَاكَ عَمَلْ إِجْبَارِيَّ. There's two types of deeds. One deed, you are forced. There are deeds, you are forced. It's out of your hands. And there are deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the choice to. You've got the choice of doing them. The things that you are forced, as I said, the day you were born, the parents that you came from an African parents, you came from Lebanese parents, you came from an Asian parents, that's something out of your hands. Allah had written it on you. You were tall, mashallah, 6 foot tall, or 2 foot tall. That's something that Allah had written on you. Mashallah, you are black, or you are white. That's something Allah had written on you. It's out of your hands. It's not in your hands. You were born, wallah, for example, on the 1st of June, 2001. That's something out of your hands. That's the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge you for those deeds. Anything that you are forced, you're not judged for it. But the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the choice to do, that's where Allah azza wa jalla will ask you. إِنَّ هَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Allah said in the surah, Al-Insan, that we had guided him to the two paths. The path of being a thankful servant, or the path of being a disobedient servant. An obedient servant, a disobedient servant. The things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote on you, for you that you've got the choice to do so, Allah shows you, here's the right path, here is the wrong path. That's something that Allah had written on you. Then you've got the choice to do so. That's a real meaning. That Allah Azza wa Jalla had showed you. Here is the right path. The right path is to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To follow the Quran and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wrong path is to follow the haram. That's something that Allah had written on you. Now you know, now you've got the choice to do whatever you want to do. And that's where Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask you. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you. Because Allah had given you the choice to do so. Stand up, I stood up. I had the choice to stand up. Sit down, I sat down. I had the choice to sit down. Okay, pray. I prayed. I had the choice to pray. What did Allah Azza wa Jalla write on me? He wrote on me to pray. For me, He showed me, here's the prayer in front of you, you have to pray. I implemented that. That means I had the choice to implement that. So the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written on us, is He showed us. He showed us. He showed us to pray. He showed us to fast. He showed us to pay zakat. I done that. That means I had the choice of doing it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla showed us, to commit theft is haram. To drink is haram. On you. So Allah had written on me to know that. Then I implemented that, or I done that, I'll be judged for what I've done. I'll be judged for what I've done. It does not mean Allah doesn't know what you're going to do. That's another topic you have to understand. That's totally different. What Allah knows is totally different what Allah had written on you. It's a bit confusing. You think of it after a while, understand it. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written on you is different what Allah knows what you're going to do. Allah had written on you to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written on you to do that and do this. It's different for what Allah knows what you're going to do. Because Allah had written on you that to pray, pray. Allah had written not to drink, not to drink. And that's something Allah left in your hands. But Allah knows what you're going to do. It's two different things. How are you going to understand that? That's something that you never understand. Why? Because it's the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before you want to understand the knowledge of Allah, understand your knowledge. Before you want to understand the reality of your Creator, understand your own reality of you being a human being. You as a human being, you don't even know your reality. You being as a human being, you can't even know your reality. It's enough that you don't even know what's a soul. Where's the ruh? Let me see. He's the man to stand up and say, okay, the soul is in that part of my body here. Or the other one's going to say, the soul is not in that part of my body, in my heart. The other one's going to say, wallahi, my soul is in my leg. The other ones are going to say, my soul is in my hands. The other one's going to say, my soul is in my mind. No one knows. So your own reality, you don't even know it. Now you want to know the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's something that we'll never know. All we know that Allah has written on me something, and Allah knows what I'm going to do. How does that happen? Well, Allah knows. And I have to understand, that Allah had given me the choice of doing what I want to do. Here is the right path, He's the one that given you choice to follow it. Here is the wrong path, Allah Azza wa Jal, He had given you the choice of doing it. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْجَنَّةَ وَخَلَقَ لَهَا أَهْلَهَا وَخَلَقَ النَّارَ وَخَلَقَ لَهَا أَهْلَهَا فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الصَّحَابَةِ فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لِمَ الْعَمَلُ إِذًا فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا خَلَقَ الرَّجُلَ وَجَعَلَهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ اسْتَعْمَلَهُ لِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا خَلَقَ الرَّجُلَ
وَجَعَلَهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ اسْتَعْمَلُوا لِأَعْمَلَ بِعَمِلْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah had created the paradise and He had created the people of that paradise. And He had created the fire of hell and He had created the people of that fire of hell. So one of the companions stands up and says, O Prophet Allah, then what do we act for? What do we have to do for? What do we have to implement if Allah Azza wa Jal had written on me that I'm from the people of the paradise? Or I'm from the people of the fire of hope? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him in the most wisest answer, where he said that Allah, if He creates a human being for the paradise, Allah will use him for the deeds of the paradise. And if Allah creates a human being for the fire of hell, Allah will use him for the deeds of the fire of hell. Very simple and easy. If you are created for the paradise, Allah will use you for the deeds of the paradise. If you are created for the fire of hell, Allah will use you for the deeds of the fire of hell. But that does not mean that you've got no choice. No, you do have choice. You could choose whatever you want. And that's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you on what you had the choice in. He will not judge you on what you did not have choice in. He will judge you on what you had choice in. And inshallah, I'll leave a longer topic about this. Al-insan muyassar am mukhayyar. Does he have the choice? He doesn't have a choice. And the end of the hadith, where every believer should understand. And pay attention if you want to know where your ending is. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا غَيْرُهُ إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى لَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises, by the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, there is no Lord except Him. He says that one of you will be doing the deeds of the people of the paradise until his last days, until his last age, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written on him or showed him another path, and will have the choice of following the other path, and he'll follow the path of the people of the fire of hell, so he'll end up in the fire of hell. وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ حَتَّى لَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا That one of you could be doing the deeds of the people of the fire of hell until the last days of his life. He'll do the deeds of the people of the paradise, he'll end up in the paradise. That means someone will be doing the deeds of the people of the paradise until the last moment of their life. They'll do the deeds of the people of the fire of hell, end up in the fire of hell. And the same thing, someone will be doing the deeds of the people of the fire of hell until the last moment in their life. They'll do the deeds of the people of the paradise and end up in the paradise. It means, Al-A'malu bi-khawatimiha. It's what the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, that Allah will judge you for your last deeds. Allah will judge you for your last deeds. And when is your last deed? That's something that me and you don't know, no one will ever know. When is your last deed? That's something that you'll never know. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will never tell us. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people asked him, Oh Muhammad, do you know when you're going to die? When other people are going to die? So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, قُلْ إِنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah told Muhammad, Oh Muhammad, tell the people that I don't know the unseen. And knowing the time of your death is something from the unseen. I do not know the unseen. And if I do know the unseen, I have only chose the good and prevented the bad from me. Because you want to, okay, if you know the unseen of you, okay, go, if you know that this job, you are going into a job. You're applying for a job. And you know the unseen that this job is bad for you. You not take it from the beginning. You'll take something that you saw in the unseen that's good for you. And that's something no one knows. No one knows when they're going to die. You could die today. You could die tomorrow. You could die after 100 years. That's in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to be alert that your last deed you'll be judged on. If the last deed of your life was good, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will consider all your life is good. If the last deed of your life was bad, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will consider all your life bad. And that's something that if someone dies praying, he'll be sent in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla praying. Someone dies in the path of Allah in jihad, he'll face Allah Azza wa Jalla in the day of judgment carrying the sword upholding the deen of Allah. Someone dies dancing, he'll face Allah dancing. Someone dies drinking, he'll face Allah drinking. Someone dies committing adultery, he'll face Allah committing adultery. And Allah looks at the end. If his ending was good, his whole life is good. If his ending is bad, his whole life is bad. So don't you ever be deceived by yourself saying, MashaAllah, I'm doing good. So subhanAllah, what makes you know tomorrow you could do bad and die in that moment? You could do bad and die at that moment. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, I've been doing this and doing that, this and that, MashaAllah. And you think, MashaAllah, you've done enough. And then, tomorrow is your day, and subhanAllah, tomorrow you decided to listen to the shaitan, and hop, he got you. So don't you be deceived by that. And at the same time, don't break your hopes. That wallah, you've been doing haram all your life. What makes you know? Today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repent on you, and you'll do one good deed, and you'll enter paradise. How many of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embracing Islam in the middle of a battlefield? Non-Muslims come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the middle of the battlefield, tell Muhammad, oh Muhammad, wana become Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accept the Islam. Oh Muhammad, what does Allah ask from us? Could we go and fight in the path of Allah? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permits him to go and die in the path of Allah. So they'll die and enter the paradise. And one of the Sahaba said, wallahi, I've seen some of them that never prayed in their lives. They've never prayed, not even a prayer in their lives. They ended their lives with a good deed. So Allah considers their whole life good deeds. And some people end their lives with bad deeds. So Allah considers the whole life with bad deeds. SubhanAllah. Keep this in your mind all the time. Something that prevents you from doing a lot of haram. And something that pushes you to do a lot of good. That one of you could be doing the deeds of the people of the paradise until his last age. He'll do the deeds of the people of the fire of hell, end up in the fire of hell. And one of you could do the deeds of the people of the fire of hell until his last age. He'll do the deeds of the people of the paradise, he'll be in the paradise. So Allah is balancing it for you. Okay, if you think you've done too much, then remember the hadith, huh? You could do the deeds of the people of the fire of hell, end up in the fire of hell. If you think you're doing too little, then remember, you could be doing the deeds of the people of the fire of hell and end up in the paradise. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of the paradise, and Allah prevent us from the fire of hell. Inshallah, next week, we'll start with the new lessons or the new topics. Okay, which I said, inshallah, will take maybe from 4 weeks, maybe 6 to 8 weeks. Minimum 4 weeks, maximum 8 weeks. It depends how we go. And inshallah, will be mainly the topics of the grave. Okay, how we die. Exactly from the moment that the angel of death comes. Then in the grave. Then the punishment of the grave and the luxury of the grave. It's either a corner of a paradise or a corner of the fire of hell. Then the day of judgment. Then, which one do you want first? Fire of hell or paradise? Fire of hell, I reckon. Okay. Then the paradise. So, inshallah, we'll be talking, and I've spoken about these topics before last year, but it wasn't much into details. This time, inshallah, I want to go more into details about this topic. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawla fayattabi'una ahsana. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفرة والملحدين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. جزاكم الله خير في الإسلام.